Everybody, drop your buffs.
Welcome back to Drop Your Buffs. I'm Sean Ross.
I'm Evan Ross Katz.
And Evan called an emergency this week. Someone called the Wambulance because we've got emergency news in the Survivor world, which is that at a Survivor promo event in LA this weekend, Jeff Probst showed up, did a little Q&A, and spontaneously, it seems, decided/announced that Survivor 50 will be an all returnees season. The first since Winners at War, you know, assuming they're not doing anything for 47, 48, 49. I think that's safe to assume now. And the longest stretch in Survivor history, if we're not counting Bruce returning for 45, I had to do the math there. If we're not counting Bruce returning for 45, it's the longest stretch in Survivor history without returning players on a season, multiple returning players. And so that's significant. And obviously, we have some history with Survivor 50 and imagining what an all-returning player Survivor 50 might look like. And I take it, Evan, you have thoughts about this.
Well, you seemed less than excited than I was about the prospect of hopping on the mic, but I found it kind of imperative just because this is the first acknowledgement around 50 as being something that fans are beginning to, you know, put a drumbeat around. And I think all we had gotten before this was, I think at one point Dalton asked Jeff about it and he gave one of his like, "We're not thinking about 50, we're thinking about 47 quotes. And so this was the first time we got acknowledgement that it's being thought about, and then as well as the fact that it's going to be a returning player season. And I think it activated a lot of the alumni to kind of corral their, in some cases, fan bases, and in some cases, air quotes, fan bases, right. To try and sort of, you know, because I think there's an assumption from some people that it might be a little bit like a, you know, a fan favorite kind of voting process, which, you know, we have we know nothing at this point. And I think this is probably all we're going to hear about it for a while, because I think production's not going to want to make the following few seasons look like they are sort of in a holding pattern as they prepare for this like large season. But I thought it could be a good opportunity for us to touch down on our wants for season 50 and then have a conversation about, now that it's a little bit more realistic, who do we actually think are contenders for this? Because I do think there are people that were previously out of the conversation that are back in the conversation. I think the most obvious would be Richard Hatch. One, I think him being cast on House of Villains is a signal. It's sort of like testing the water to see, oh, do people feel some type of way about him being back on television? And I haven't seen a single mention of any of his controversies, plural. It's very much giving like, oh, this is the perfect show, being House of Villains, for someone like Richard Hatch, which I think not only clears the way for Richard on Survivor, but I think it potentially clears the way for some other people like a Russell Hands, who previously might have been Do Not Asks, as well as the fact that I wonder if there are people like the Stephanie LaGrossa type of Survivor players that are not top of mind, but were brought back on a show like The Traitors that could now potentially be in consideration. So let's back up to say, what are your thoughts on the announcement? Because as you mentioned, it was framed as being sort of an on-the-whim decision/announcement. We are not fools, so we know it was planned. Why do you think that they chose... I understand why they would choose to use this event to do it, because otherwise that event's not going to drum up much press. Why do you think that they chose to do it in this bizarre way?
So I actually kind of believe it was on the fly. I mean, I don't think that Jeff is as savvy as the Jeff that I saw doing the on the fly. And maybe, I think there's probably been significant discussions about it. But, you know, as recently as you said, like as recently as the week prior, he was talking to Dalton Ross saying, we're not really planning for 50 right now. We've got, 47, 48, 49 to think about, especially 47, 48, which are about to go film. And so that's kind of our focus right now. But, there has to be backroom conversations going on at CBS of, we're continuing to renew Survivor. And certainly they're looking forward to a 49-50 renewal, and then what might that look like? 50 is a massive milestone for any show. I mean, how many shows get to season 50? And so for Survivor, I imagine they would want to celebrate that. So I do think that he went a little rogue here. It did seem like he was hesitant to really say anything, and I kind of believe that. But it seems he's been sort of energized by the conversation. And the first time I saw him address the season 50 thing was his appearance on RHAP, which was the first proper interview he gave on RHAP. And then he's been asked about it in subsequent interviews. And so I do see him take a lot of cues from his media press interviews that he does. And I think he's taken it in that, people are looking forward to 50. I think maybe previously it wasn't so much on his radar, mm-hmm. But having been asked about it several times, I think he's been thinking about it, bringing that back to CBS. They're probably thrilled to have a returning player, discussion for season 50. And so I do think he let the cat out of the bag a little early, probably. However, I also have my hesitations about the whole thing because I hear you throwing out all of these legendary names, Richard Hatch, Stephanie LaGrossa. We're seeing people like Parvati, Boston Rob, Tyson, Ethan share, little jokes about their alliance that they've formed for pre-gaming. We're hearing Parvati talk about the possibility of coming back after saying for so long that she would never come back. And I think we're all getting a little ahead of ourselves here. I think that if we have a new returning season in season 50, I genuinely, hand to my heart, believe it will be 80 to 90% new era returnees.
Oh, I don't.
Really?
I think it will be 50-50. I think what I'm speaking on your behalf, correct me if I'm wrong, would be wanting would be three tribes, seasons 1 through 19, seasons 21 through 39, and then new era. That's what we would want. That I don't think we're getting, but I do think we would do a split. And I just think that when it comes to the Ethan Zons of the world, they are not going to bypass the opportunity to have a player like him back. I do think your Robs and Parvati's are more bubble, which we can get to as to my thinking there. But I hear you that I definitely think they're going to prioritize new era more than we would want. But I think that, I don't know. I think that there's enough old school players that are in the Probst and CBS sphere to give us something more than majority new era.
Yeah. I mean, I think that what I would have ideally is that 48, be a new era returnee season. Let's create some legends here. I mean, we've got some clear contenders, in my opinion, from the new era for a returnee player season. But I don't think that we've got the legendary status for to fill a tribe of six. I don't think we've got that from the new era. And so what would give us that would be a new era all-stars, right? Our original all-stars was season 8. Let's make 48 a new era all-stars, create the legends, and then have them compete against these other people. Because even if we have some of these legends like Ethan Zahn or whoever come back and play in season 50 against new era people, those people still have the upper hand in a way because, the Ethans have played 3 times, some of them 4 times, maybe 5 times. And so there is still an imbalance there. So I would really love to see, if we're going to get new era returnees, just have us dedicate this season to them. And then we can have a real showdown of old school versus new school in a 50.
You're saying that you see the people like Ethan having an advantage having played the game many times?
A little bit, yeah.
Oh, see, I see the opposite. I feel like they're at a disadvantage than the new era returnees because of this change in the frequency of the game. The cadence of the game. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's such a different game now that they actually, despite having played however many times, I feel like it's an unfamiliar game now that I don't feel like it's like stepping back into the saddle. I think it's a very different ranch, if we're making that the metaphor.
Yeah, but, I could see that, yeah, but yeah. Either way, there is an imbalance. There's a significant imbalance, one that we saw play out on Winners at War in a very unfortunate way.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, so the other thing I'm curious to ask you about is my sense of the social media landscape after this announcement was that 100% of the fans were excited. I didn't see any dissent. And mm-hmm. so I just have to wonder, that can't have been a revelation to CBS and Jeff. And also they had to have seen the response. I believe it was pretty early into the new era when Jeff announced that there was no plans for returning player seasons. And that was met with, you know, a lot of disappointment from fans. Is there a conglomerate of the fandom that is anti-new player seasons? Excuse me, anti-returning player seasons?
I have not seen it. If there is one, I sure hope there isn't. I mean, I've seen some fucking out there, you know, takes for Survivor, especially New Era Survivor, and new fans watching old school Survivor. I've seen some really awful takes, but I've never seen a take as awful as we don't want season 50 to be a returning player season. So I don't think that exists. But I will say that this announcement didn't excite me all that much because for me, it was a foregone conclusion that season 50 of Survivor would of course be returning players. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I do think that there's an aspect of this that I'm feeling, which is, oh, that means 47, 48, 49 are going to be the same old new era shit as we always get. And like, for me, that's frustrating because we've been sitting here being like, well, maybe 47 will be returning. Surely they've got to be seeing the success of the Traitors. They've got to be seeing the success of House of Villains, these other shows that are bringing back old school sort of reality legends. And, you know, why not? Makes their casting so much easier. They've already got the pool of people who are capable of being on TV. We can just, you know, even if they're just new era, they can just pull them back in, right? And they can easily throw that together. For me, this signals that we are not getting that until 50. And that's like, that's a hard pill to swallow.
Yeah. But then there's always a part of me that's like, maybe they see the response, the excitement over this. And, you know, obviously 48, wait, so what are they? They're going out to film 47 and 48, right?
That's right.
So there's still opportunity. I mean, there's even opportunities to tinker with 48 in theory. Mm-hmm. And certainly 49. I have to have a little bit of hope. But then I also wonder, too, that because it's not... First of all, as you mentioned, it would be the first returning player season in 10 seasons, the longest period without a returning player season, on top of the fact that it's season 50, which is different than just a returning player season in that it's demarcated as a celebration of looking back, right? It's not just the same thing as, like, a Second Chances or a Game Changers. It's really a celebration of the 49 seasons before it. And so I wonder, too, if they would do any tinkering around the length of the game, the family visits, for instance, because there's opportunities here to really get some familiar faces in the mix. I mean, imagine if Jared of Big Brother fame comes to visit his mom, Ceri. There's just opportunities here. Or do they want to do a blood versus water season where they have 20 returning players with 20 family members? Like, do they want to sort of play with other past aspects of the show? I don't necessarily need like a straight up like all-star season because it's like, lest we forget how much we hated Winners at War. So I'm not immediately excited just at the prospect of this happening. I think the reason why I'm like, oh my God, emergency episode, is because I'm like, this to me signals some element of listening to the fandom, which, yes, there have been instances we've kind of been like, maybe they're listening, but never really for certain. And this at least seems like not only are they going to do it, but the fact that they would announce it now and then obviously get this huge response from the fandom and igniting all these players. And then it's also just fun to think, like, some of these players out here, maybe they're being facetious, but, like, actually thinking that they're contenders to come back for season 50 is, like, LOL.
No, I it's, like, kind of infuriating me, honestly, because I'm sitting here on Twitter and I've got, like, Brando, like, tweeting up a storm about, you know, pre-game alliances, taking screenshots of group chats with 100 people in them, and, like, and he's also, like, you know, like, whining about old school players, like, be like, get over the 39 days. It's like, Brando, name one thing you did. Who, and also, who are you? Like,
but you're who not... is this?
Brando was in Survivor 45. He got voted off pre-merge in, like, the tribe swap by
gay
Owen and Drew. He's gayish. I don't know that he's gay, but he's like, yeah. He's the one that he wore the buff as a tank top over his shirt.
Oh yeah. Okay, I know who this is. I get him confused with Sean. Which season was he on?
Sean was 46. The quitting.
That's the one we're watching now.
Remember, sorry. Oh wait, I've got this all. No. Yeah, Sean was. Sorry, Sean was. Oh my god.
Sean was 45. The one. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
They're and both 45.
Is, yeah. Okay. Sorry. It's all confusing. Okay. Yeah. I think this underlines our point.
Yeah.
yeah. Okay. So then. So can I ask another question?
Yeah.
So my other sort of like. Question is, there are a lot of, you know, as we saw, there's that social media post with like Rob, Parvati, Tyson, and Ethan. I just want to say, it's no disrespect to Tyson. I just feel like when they try and like market themselves as like this quad, I'm kind of like, it's a trio plus Tyson. I just don't see Tyson in the same category as those other three. It's
because
just
why?
Because I feel like Ethan, Rob, and Parvati represent, like, archetypes of not just the game of Survivor, but of, like, people on this show. And Tyson, to me, is so different in his... And I know you could say, well, weren't all of them different in their original seasons? Perhaps. But, like, there's just something about Tyson where I'm like, I loved Tyson in Token Sheens, and then I don't really know, like, his personality in the other seasons, I don't really, like, have a distinct... way in which he played the game or like thoughts around, I don't remember specific moves he made. Tyson's very anonymous to me as far as like, when you like define the gameplay of a Rob, a Parvati, or an Ethan, it's so easy to sort of explain them and who they are. So I guess, let me ask you, it's like, how do you define who Tyson is within the world of Survivor?
Yeah, I mean, I hear your point, but that's because Tyson's, you know, everything post season 20, including Tyson's winning season. Well, there. Okay, so we have the Tyson of Token Chains. We have the Tyson of Heroes versus Villains, which he's like barely there for, kind of votes himself out in a way. And then in his winning season and then Winners at War, I'm just like not as interested in those seasons because they're just not for me. And so... I mean, I think that if we want to really see what Tyson's gameplay is, we need to look at his winning season, but I don't want to because I don't love that season. And then Winners at War is just like such a flop that, you know, the Tyson of Survivor strategy, I don't really know. I do know the character Tyson, and I think the character Tyson, I hear what you're saying. I think the character Tyson has a place in the Survivor pantheon, but the player Tyson... not so much for me. I think there's a lot more interesting like players.
Yeah.
And so I hear what you're saying about like, you know, the Ethans and the Robs and the Parvatis have both. And like granted, Tyson has the personality and he went on to win. So like that's a benefit to him.
Right.
But it's not quite the same stature as the other three, sure.
I'm just saying for me, it's like it's very like Charlotte in the Sex and the City 4, where I'm just like, I understand why you're here and I know you add value. Yeah. But in comparison to the other three, it's sort of like, honey, this is bad. okay, but the reason I bring them up is to say, I think for me, I don't think, and it goes without saying, but I'll just say it. It's like, I obviously want Parvati back on my screen, as I do with Rob and as I do with Ethan. I think in the case of Rob and Parvati, I don't think there is more game in them to play. I don't think that there's...
Yeah.
The only possibility is that you stack the cast with enough icons where, you know, Tonys and Russells and what have you, where they are not... They don't stick out in the way that they did on Winners at War. Yeah. But that's incredibly difficult to do. But my point being, it's just like, I don't know how Parvati or Rob can maneuver in this game. They're just at such a different level, particularly Rob having come back and done a season where he was literally a mentor. I just, as much as we want Sandra and Parvati and Rob back, I really think of like that level of icon, Ethan is really the only one that could potentially play the game of Survivor without it feeling like fans versus favorites.
Yeah, but even then, I do think that Ethan's story on Winners at War, and especially the end and sort of like the log run that they had to do, like, I do think, let's put him on a season with new era Survivor contestants, and like, that's bad news for him, I think.
Yeah.
Because like, that, you know, had he not gone on Winners at War, or had Winners at War not had Extinction Island on it where he could have that journey, I think it would be a different story, but that's still quite fresh. I mean, I know it's 10 seasons apart, but it's only 5 years, and you know, Winners at War is still on people's minds and people talk about it. And I think Ethan's, you know, show in Winners at War can work against him.
So that's why, to sort of shift the conversation to like, who do I actually want to see on this season? And this is separate from the conversation about the Legend season, which we will continue to build on and continue to develop the lore around. But this specific conversation is more rooted in realism. For me, my number one pick would be like a Colby Donaldson, who I think is a legacy person within this show, is enough of a name that people that watch the show today still know who he is, but has been off the show long enough that could get away with flying under the radar because people would use the, he hasn't played this game in 10 plus years, he doesn't know about the pace of the game, he's older than he was when he first played. There's a lot of demerits that could make him not seen as this like immediate threat. He's also not someone that is on the RHAP circuit, is like big within the fandom, is it like a huge, is a draw for a lot of people, feels both realistic but also a little bit of a subversive pick. And so like, that's who I'm aiming for. And the other one I would throw into the mix, who I think is like an impossible get, but not impossible because of the circumstance, would be like a Colleen Haskell, because I really do feel like they're going to need to have season one representation. And being that Kelly already came back and flopped, I don't, because I think she would be the natural one to go for. I think if not Richard, and because Susan and Rudy are not options really, I think you really try to go for a Colleen.
Yeah, like, by all means, sign me up for that show, because I would be very here for it. I think that that's, I do think that's an impossible, but hey, I'm down for sure. Keeping on the track of what you're saying with Colby Donaldson, I would say that a really great person to bring back would be Jerry Manthe, right? And bring them both back because they go together. They are a pair. They've been on every season they've been on together, right? And so I think that Jerry, similarly, she did very well in Heroes versus Villains. I mean, say what you will about her gameplay on that season, but she almost made it to the end. We've heard the jury wouldn't have voted for her to win, but like, she could have got votes, right? And so that's very significant in Survivor's landmark season, Heroes versus Villains, to go that far. And yet, I think she's like very undervalued by the Survivor community. I think people kind of look down on her gameplay in a way, see her as a character. And she is a character, and she can bring the gameplay like she did in Heroes versus Villains. And similarly, I mean, like, she's around. She's been on Drop Your Buffs like 3 times. And so she's watching Survivor. She's paying attention to it. She's got thoughts on the New Era. She knows the New Era contestants. I know she's hung out with New Era contestants. So I think she's like a good mix of sort of like she's in and around, but she's not oversaturated in the way that some others are. And so I would really, really love to see a season 50 version of Jerry Manthe. I think there's others as well, but if I'm being really, really, truly realistic, I think it has to be majority New Era players, like honestly. And I think the only my vision for this season, my prediction for this season, it's not my vision for this season, my prediction for this season is that we are going to get mostly 41 to 49. I think they'll throw in a 49 in the same way they threw in a Rupert to All Stars or Russell to Heroes versus Villains, where they just kind of like really quickly turn around their gameplay because they can see that that person's a star. And I think we'll have a majority of 41 to 48. And then I think we're going to get an Angelina. I think we could get a Natalie, right, or a Christian Hubicki or something like that, because those people that came after the, you know, even like could get a Dom from Ghost Island. Those are all possibilities, I think. I think that Kelly Kim should be back. I think she deserves another chance. I think it's really kind of a shame that she wasn't brought back for 41, given the circumstances of her outing in 39. And the fact that like Jeff had to have like a, you know, a one-on-one on stage interview with her after the season.
Yeah, but like I don't think that, but that this, I agree with you. I don't think 50 is the place for that. This is the issue this is why the problem they've put themselves in by making it, by having no returning player seasons and it coinciding with 50.
Yeah, agreed.
It's kind of having to do two jobs at once, which is like be the first returning player season in so long, which has us hype, while also needing to celebrate the show's legacy. And the other thing too is, like, you brought up Jerry, who's someone I obviously would want to see on as well, and that made me think, oh, I'd also want to see Rupert. But it's like, I'm hard pressed, because all three of the players then are people that have played on Heroes versus Villains. We're really hard pressed to come up with someone that, like, because then I was going to say like James, but again, Heroes versus Villains, it's hard to come up with someone who's like an icon. That's why Kelly Wigglesworth coming back for, was it Game Changers or Second Chances?
No, Second Chance.
Second Chances. That's why that was such a get. Or Jervis coming back for Second Chances, because it was like, that's a big name. What?
Jervis was back for Blood versus Water.
Who cares? Anyway, but the point being, it's like, though I don't know if there are gets of that magnitude anymore. That's why I think Stephanie LaGrossa was one of like the few. I do think Bobby John is an interesting person to put in the conversation as someone who obviously wasn't as big of a deal as Stephanie LaGrossa, but still, you know, deemed worthy enough to come back and you know, played these two seasons and never was heard from again, more or less. So he is someone interesting. Obviously, we've talked about Vesepia, Earl, Todd, some of the previous winners who weren't on Winners at War, who would seemingly be obvious choices, but then they were seemingly obvious choices for Winners at War, and they weren't even given phone calls in a lot of instances. So,
but I do think there's some people in there in like the post 20s, like get Fabio in, get, you know, or some of these like, or, you know, not pre 20, but a Natalie White, right? Or if we, I know Heroes versus Villains, but if we dragged Amanda out of the woodwork or something.
Yeah.
And it was, so there's people that, yes, sure. Okay. Some Amanda played on Heroes versus Villains, but like there is something about like digging into the past, going a little bit deeper than the surface level of like, these are the people in the Survivor sphere. These are the people who are like, and it's a bit of a shame because you can see former players like putting in the work, and they've been putting in the work for many years. Like people like Lauren Ashley Beck, right? Like there's something to be said for like really keeping your name out there. And lest we forget, that is how Kelly Wentworth got on to Second Chances. Like, I mean, nobody knew who Kelly Wentworth was, and she just campaigned her ass off, got herself onto every podcast, like made her, ingrained herself in Survivor Twitter, and got on Second Chances because of that. And so like that is a strategy that works. But I don't necessarily want that to play out that way.
I also would argue that someone like Kelly, to me, will never be icon status. And I'm not saying it's because of that, but like that that eagerness to me comes through in a way that I don't respond to as a viewer of the show, which may be a situational to Kelly, I'm not sure. But that's the other thing is, like, I don't know how much I want it to be people that want to be there mm-hmm. versus people that are dragged onto being there. Mm-hmm. I do think the thing that they can use this time, which is why I'm not necessarily saying it's like Colleen Haskell's realistic, but I think she's more realistic for this season than any other because they can really frame this as like a last hurrah for these people to be like, we know you're not in the reality space. We know you don't do this anymore. This is about celebrating this moment in time in your life, this thing that changed your life, coming back and doing it one last time. I do think there's a way in which they can frame it, which can incentivize people that would not return for a standard returning player season that might be like, okay. And also, you never know with people where it's like, in the case of a Colleen or Amanda, where their kids might be at a certain age now, mm-hmm. where what was previously, you know, not realistic can become more realistic. They might have kids encouraging them to go do this. They might want to be like, look what mom can do, dad, whomever. Like, I do think that there are people that are seemingly out of the conversation that could be someone that we could call upon.
But I think Todd Herzog is a good example of that, who mm-hmm. I mean, he did want to be back for Winners at War. It didn't happen. And I think that, you know, if we are bringing these sort of like old school contingent in, Todd's a great one because he was overlooked for, I mean, he wasn't on Heroes versus Villains and he was overlooked for Winners at War. So that's a good one.
Yeah. The other thing that I think we have to keep in mind and why I get a little bit worried is just like, as I often say on the show, like at the end of the day, we're making television. And one of my worries with, like, let's say we were to get Amanda Kimmel and have her back and we're shaking, right? But it's like, we have to remember, like, Amanda famously bombed on Heroes vs. Villains. And I'm not just talking about gameplay wise. She was just not present on the show. Or thinking about Parvati on Winners at War, where she was just mentally checked out. She said this about her time there. So my other worry is that, like, you, not only do you need the right players, but you need them in the right headspace. Mm-hmm. And because this season is going to film when it's going to film, you can't always have that luxury of finding people at the best time in their lives. So the other thing I worry about is that, like, you get someone like a Colby who you're super amped about, and then you realize that it's like Colby's not able to be the Colby of before because it either doesn't translate today or there's a myriad of circumstances as to why. So my other like worry is that, like, you know, we got lucky with Ethan on Winners at War and that, like, he was able to use his legacy and create like a new arc. But I worry that that was kind of an anomaly because, you know, you look at, you know, Boston Rob, for instance, who I'm watching a little bit on Deal or No Deal Island. And I'm like, Rob's not really like great television. Like, I like Rob. I'm a fan of Rob's, obviously, but it's more like I'm a legacy fan of his than I am, like, whereas I do think what Parvati has is, like, Parvati's just inherently good television. Mm-hmm. That I do feel like she has, like, a magnetism to her, similar to Sandra. But again, those players on the show are kind of, like, few and far between. A lot of the real icons of the show are not necessarily, like, the best television, necessarily.
Well, I would say, you know, a great example of somebody we had on recently was Kathy Vavrick O'Brien, whose name hasn't been in the conversation in decades, and I think should be in the conversation if we're bringing in old school, which, mm-hmm. I mean, hopefully we are. Can I ask you, though, can we pivot a little bit and have the realistic conversation? Is there anybody, do you have like a top 3, 4, 5 new era players that you would like to see return, and whether they're competing against each other or an old school contingent?
Yeah. Well, I'm just trying not to use, let's take 46 out of it just because of recency bias.
Yeah, it's too much. Yeah.
So, okay. Is the question who I want or who I think would be in consideration?
Whichever.
I mean, I definitely think Carson is going to be someone that the show wants to see back. I don't have strong feelings one way or the other about it. It's for me, there's like a world in which Carson has an incredible second season. I think if Carson came back and had a villain arc, I could definitely be there for it. So, like, he's someone that I don't think would be necessarily a waste. I mean, the only one that like really comes to mind is Shan, because in addition to the fact that I think she's good television, I also think that like by season 50, it will have been, what? When did Survivor 41 was 2021?
Yeah.
and this is like 2026, it will have been 5 years. Like, it, even now, it's like, I don't really remember Shan. I just remember her being like a little chaotic. So Shan was both someone that I would want to see play again, but also someone I'd be like curious to see, like, what is Shan of, you know, her second go around like as a person. No one else is like springing. I mean, obviously it's a lot of people to cycle through in my head, but no one is like springing to mind. Caleb is someone that I think could be potentially interesting to have back. Who's coming to mind for you?
Well, I think that I agree. I think Shan is the top pick, and you know, I'll get in trouble if I don't say this, but I do think that Shan and Ricard together would be interesting to see because of the story. And I think there's a couple duos like this where like Cody and Jesse, I'm just less interested in them, where, you know, one sort of betrayed the other and sent them home. I do like that kind of a story on a returning player season to see, like, can they come back together? I mean, this is like, you know, at a much lower level, the Jerry and Colby story in a way, where it's like, I like to see, well, how can we progress this story of existing relationships? So I would like to see Shan, but I would want to see Ricard with her. I think that Carolyn is a shoe-in. I think if there's one person who's a guaranteed to be asked and guaranteed to say yes, I think it's Carolyn. I think Carolyn even over Carson potentially, because just look at the attention Carolyn brought to season 44.
Okay. I also put Jake from 45.
Yeah,
in the conversation.
I was wondering if you'd say that.
Yeah, he would be in there for me. And then I'm trying to think.
I think Omer would be a pretty good shoe-in. Is it somebody like I'm dying to see? No, but I think Omer, you know, got a lot of attention as a game player in 42, and I think there's sort of, and you know, with his sister, sort of like. Do you know this story about like his sister becoming a Jeopardy champion?
No, but I don't.
Okay, yeah. So I like that, you know, the Zaheeras are out there, and I think Omer could be like a pretty good shoe-in.
But again, like to what you said earlier, which I think is like the best idea, is like play out this new era returning season for 49, and then maybe it's like, I wonder if there's some way to like make 49 some kind of sudden death to get into 50.
Oh, that's
where
fun.
It's like there's three tribes on season 50. There's, like I said before, seasons 1 through 19, 21 to 39, then new era. But season 49 is entirely new era. And because I want three tribes of eight for season 50. If not, to be honest with you, I want three tribes of 10.
Sure. Let's do it.
But my point being, it's like you basically play a version of Survivor where it's, you know, the whoever makes it through is then automatically advances to season 50.
Well, it's like season 50, so it's three tribes of 10, it's 39 days or more. Like let's just do like the 42 days or whatever that they did for Australian Outback, you know, for doing a landmark season. So we'll do like 42 days, three tribes of 10, and then the new era, you know, which they've only been playing 26 days. They got to prove themselves to get the spot to play on the Legends season of 50. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that.
But like, I don't know. The more we're having this conversation, the more I'm just sort of like, I just think that the best case scenario in terms of not 50 necessarily, but in terms of returning player seasons for us is like for them to go random and us to fall in love with people we would never have considered.
Totally. I think that's
the end
the
of the
ideal.
Day. Yeah, it's like you really, what they need is less our advice on who to cast. And what they really just need is the magic of Parvati on Micronesia. But, you know, they really just need someone who's not, we don't think negatively of, but someone that's just like not on our radar.
Yeah, the problem is, I think that they've tried that, you know, like look at Game Changers, like the Haleys and the Sierras and shit. Like, I think they've tried to replicate that and it just hasn't worked. I think Parvati is an enigma. She's an anomaly and they really got lucky with Parvati. But I do think that a great way to do this would be to take the second chance formula, like take only, you know, one-time players or a little twist on it, right? Like, something, but a second chance where there is a fan vote involved and you know, that way you can get a good number of new era players, but you can also go random from the past where, you know, there's some great people that have been overlooked who have only played one time and they could also get a chance. And it's not the legend season, it's not the season 50 that we would be hoping for, but I think it's a good formula for, you know, a potentially great season where it's people have been sitting around, you know, some new era, whatever, but some people sitting around for decades, maybe thinking mm-hmm. about what if I did this again? And then there's so much on the line there.
I also wonder if they don't try and do like have one person from every season on episode one, and then it's a knockout kind of thing, and like 50%. So then you have like what, like 48 contestants?
Sort of like a Squid Game format.
Exactly. And then episode one, you knock out half the people.
We've got great ideas for the whiteboard.
Yeah, because part of me feels like, again, if you're going to do this 50 thing, and it's like you got to sort of honor every season in a weird way.
I agree. And I think the shame is that they did that in 40. And like, no, they didn't honor every season. But I do feel like they did the retrospective with 40. Mm-hmm. And that's my big concern, is then the start of this new era and the branding of the new era. It's we're going to go back and do the retrospective again.
But you got the recent challenge with the like acknowledgement of the past season. So like there has been a little bit of like recognition. And again, we have yet to see... This is all in a post-Traitor season 2 landscape that we're in. Post-Sari winning. Or not, did she win Big Brother?
Sari did not win Big Brother.
Who won? Oh, wait, she came in like, wait, who won?
I don't know.
I don't remember. I don't care. Anyway, needless to say, I think it's so curious. That's all I have to say. But I felt like this needed a conversation. I think what we'll do next is, I think at some point, because we've got some time here, we need to sort of finalize our Legend season.
Sure. Yeah, we can finalize the Legend season. And then I think we should do that. And we can no longer say 50 is the Legend season. Well, we can for a little while.
We can.
But just one last thing on this. I think the real problem here is that we need to bring Lynn Spielman back, or somebody that's not Jesse fucking Tannenbaum, because like, can we get whatever? Because you also have to look behind the scenes. It's like the casting directors, like they want to big up themselves. They want to prove like, so there's been a new casting team on from 41 onwards. And
right.
So it's like,
they're going to want
to
show.
They have
50.
To be like, yeah, look how great we did. Look, we made Legends. They don't want to pull on the Parvatis and the Sandras. They want to, whatever. That's beside the point. But let's bring back the Legends, not just of Survivor, but of Survivor casting as well. I'd love to see that. But you know, so we'll have the Legend season casting. We'll have to sort of determine. We'll have to pull in all our notes of who has, you know, been put forward formally by guests on this podcast. Maybe make a compilation of that, and you know, from that and from our own brains, cast the Legend season. But then I think there's a whole other discussion about casting season 50.
Ugh. Time will tell.
Maybe I'll put up a question on the Instagram for people to suggest themes for season 50 that are not Legends.
I like that. And I'd also be curious at some point to like ask people like, who is your dream casting for season 50 unrealistic, and who is your dream casting for season 50 realistic? Like, I think we need to be intentional in delineating any future conversations about 50 to be like, when are we having fun versus when are we like getting down to it?
Yeah, totally.
Because like Courtney Yates, season 50, yes, please. But like, I'm using Galaxy Brain, right? Like,
or Colleen Haskell.
Yeah. A little. I hope.
Tina Wesson.
Yeah.
Tina's daughter.
Katie.
Yeah, good one.
Yeah.
Oh my God, you're a fucking loser.
I am a fucking loser. Shame.
All right. Okay, well, with that, we're going to wrap this up, I guess. And we'll be back later this week to talk Survivor 46 some more. Of course, you can find us over on Instagram, where you can vote in all these alleged polls that I'm going to be posting, at Drop Your Buffs Pod. You can find us on Twitter at Drop Buffs Pod. And you can rate and review this if you enjoyed it on Apple or Spotify. Thank you so much for listening. Bye.
Bye.